search your ways to the winds of freedom. It's by grace that your wings to the wings of faith. Hallelujah. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for the availability of time that we can gather, Lord, today. To come, fellowship, worship, and to hear your word. Once again, Father, we thank you for life. Yes, Lord. Because Christ Jesus is the way. And without him, there is no going. And he is the truth. Without him, there is no knowing. And here is the life, life eternal, now and eternally. And we thank you, Father, because of that, we are here today. Let our hearts rejoice, Father, for your love, for your grace, for ever present help in times of need. You are everything to us, Lord. We are thankful for that, O Lord. So now, Father, as you come to thy word, set our wings, Lord, with the wings of faith, to be able to soar higher as thou eagle scream for us to come out higher. And we can fly up higher to you, Lord. And with every flight, O Father, that we take, higher and higher we go. And with eyes that we could see better, Father, know your plan and the purpose of life. The Lord, that we can begin to understand the power of the spoken word and the confession that is within us, Lord. So I thank you, Father, for all that you are, what you have done for us today, and what you have done for us yesterday and the day before, and going back all the time, since that we know you, Father. We thank you, Lord. So bless now, Lord, open thy word again. I ask that you bless in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Go to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. I think we all know that very well, but I want to take some of the verses and sidetrack myself a little, because I want to bring you to remembrance of the important about the life of the body of Christ. And why some of these verses are important to us, for us to really understand the importance of the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, this is an epistle of Paul to Timothy, his second epistle to Timothy. A young man who loved his spiritual father, Paul, and a young man who was always open up to the learning of God's word and to be taught by Paul. And that's why Timothy is such a person whom Paul loved, tried to make him to understand about the importance of the Word of God and what he do in his ministry. Paul encouraged him to study the Word of God and not to be ashamed of it. Now, the question is, a lot of people study the Word of God, and I believe that everyone of you should do that. But what it is to study? There are people that study but do not know how to rightly divide the word of truth. So now let us look this word here. A workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The word rightly dividing the word of truth, we will think that, well, in the English way, in the English word meaning to divide the word correctly. But in the Greek word, the way that it is presented, it is means to cut straight. Now that's kind of odd. It's a cut straight. And how does it cut straight? How do you cut straight the word of God? And that word comes from a pliers from a tailor. Now let me show you this picture so that you can understand that what kind of ruler and measuring tools a tailor uses to cut straight. So when we say cut straight, we don't mean just a straight line. You understand that? It's not a straight line. You're right? How do you divide the word of God? Means like, for example, you buy a cake and four people are wanting to have a piece, so you divide the cake equally. It doesn't mean you cut straight into half and then cut straight from the other side and I said to have four equal pieces of cake. Cut straight means not a straight line. Cut straight means to cut according to fit the user, to fit the person. The word of God, we must only divide to cut it correctly for the life of a believer, to fit the life of a believer. So now you look at these tools, right? Now look at that ruler. Well, not all rulers, they are straight. Isn't it? There are rulers, they are curved. But the tailor, with the measuring tape, he measures you for your shirt, for your trousers. And your body is not a straight thing. You are not oblong or square. Alright? You're not rectangular or a square. You know, that sort of thing. You know, your body has curves. But he used those ruler, curve ruler, whatever, and he cuts straight to fit you. So the word of God, we must really divide it, understand it. And what Paul told Timothy to learn it so that he could cut straight the word of God for the sake of the one who's putting on the word of God. That's how important that is. So when we approach the word of God each time, we think of that. Let's go over to the book of Matthew now. Chapter 7, verse 14. So I'm not just preaching the word of God, I'm teaching as well as in whole. Divide the word of God in the way it should be, so that you all understand it better. Matthew chapter 7, verse 14. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Now straight is the gate, narrow is the way. So what do you understand by the way that is called straight? What is meant by straight? Now, here we have an English with King James here. Straight doesn't mean straight as in straight. Straight here means narrow. Here we have in Singapore the straight. You say the straight of Johor or straight of Singapore? Straight. No, the one between Johor and Singapore. What is it called that? Alright, straight of Johor. Okay then. So you know what a straight means? Straight, it means narrow. Whether it's crooked or not, it's very narrow. So maneuvering the path is not easy. And yet the Bible says, straight is the gate and narrow is the way. Now, straight, gate, narrow way. Yeah, the word is narrow. The meaning said there's a lot of obstacle. Straight is the gate. Now, want to go in? Alright. To get into the gate is very straight and narrow. So that you need to go in with a lot of difficulty. And it is so true that when you are, you know, there's been quite a number of accidents happened also in the Strait of Malacca because of the narrow sea lane. Now, the thing is that we, as Jesus said, when the gospel is preached, and we know that they're taken by force, the enemy will try to take you out. As long as you try to push in, the enemy will try to push you out. So it's a lot of battle to maneuver. People think they come to Jesus, it's very easy. I'm okay. Huh? Our life is not a bed of roses. A lot of thorns is on the way too. And so when we talk about the life of the body of Christ, think of these things. That the word of God was given to you and me to fit you, to make you what you should be. And that you cannot just simply say, I can relax. This is not, when we gather together as a Christian, it is not a recreation room that you play billiard or jackpot. Where people go and in the, you know, recreation room, they don't have this, what do you call, what kind of country club or whatever club is, but I go relax, play game, whatever, play golf. No. When we come together around the Word of God, remember one thing, our life, it is a, we are in the battle. As the song said, this is not a recreation room, brother. It is a battlefield. Because every day, the devil will come and try to manipulate your mind. Because we have five senses that we contact the world. And that's all those five senses are corrupt. And they're trying to get you and me to, you know, make us go away from the Lord. Alright, so now, remember this chart last week. It's a simple chart. The head is reality. The body shows the relationship to the head. And if the head comes forth, from the head comes forth the life. And the body has relationship to the head, and therefore that is life consciousness. Remember this, that as long as we be members of the body of Christ and we are conscious of the head, then we have the life relationship with Him. Now I want to show you something here in my for what I'm going through. You know, in the last week, in the first, maybe Tuesday, Wednesday, I took a little bit too much of something that I should not have taken to my body, though I want to use that to detoxify my body. I took a little bit too much accidentally, somehow I never thought of it. Then on Thursday night to Friday night, I went into a terrible spasm of the body. On Thursday night, I couldn't sleep properly. And I went into a struggle. And I got up in the Friday morning, the whole day, I had pain in my body. You know, the pain was bad. My back ached. There was pain on my back. Kind of hot. Then I have this, of course, my heartburn. You know, because of the colonoscopy, where I was given this packed solution to drink, 4 liters of it. And that one actually damaged my digestive system. It causes my stomach to burn. And there's a lot of patches of it and become what they call gastritis. And which, of course, I don't have it before this problem. And yet the brother, a doctor who was a brother in a Nigerian brother, told me that you are just one of those rare cases who react to this tech solution. And, well, it was bad. And I have this pain for so many since the last month or so. And I'm trying to do what I can. All my good bacteria were flushed out. So I have to buy some of those, what you call, supplement that will rebuild the bacteria in the guts. So I took that for a week or so. It helps. And I was happy about it. But the problem is that the heartburn is still here. And every night when I lie down to bed, the pain comes when you lie down. So I have to sit up more, most of the time, or put myself in a reclined position. But what happened on Thursday when I got up was so bad that the whole day I probably couldn't do much. The backache, the burning sensation, and now a little bit of a colicky pain ever so often in the lower part. Well, anyway, it was a real struggle. The whole day on Thursday was so badly, you know, the issue of it was so bad. And on Friday night, I decided to go to bed early, around 9 o'clock. I tried to go to sleep. And it's just impossible. Every time I lie down, the pain starts coming and become worse the whole night. I could sleep for 1 hour or so. I woke up. And I was so, my whole body went into a spasm. And I couldn't understand what actually happened. I have heartburn, gastritis problem that's burning here. And then it goes all over my abdomen and it just cramp up a lot of pain, spasm. Then when it goes out to the back, I have spinal issue with my lumbar. And the pain was shooting down my back to my hip. And the whole body went into a pain, like all this nerve pain start coming. Oh, I says, wow. And I got to sit up on a bed, trying to sleep, holding the pillow, hugging, but the pain would just be there. Ease off a little while, and then after it straightened a little bit, the pain comes. I took something to drink to try to soothe the stomach. It doesn't help. And you go on and on throughout the whole night. And I was growing in pain, just praying, just meditating. My mouth was going this way and that way, talking to the Lord. And what I was thinking about is meditating. My mind was on this subject. You know, it seemed the Lord was saying, this is reality of life consciousness. And I began to wonder, I said, oh, I have here the heartburn. Yes, I feel it here. No, not just here. It goes up to the head. The head is sending down to the body and my hand is going down there to start to soothe it. You know, to soothe it. And then the pain or something back from the back, it radiates all over the leg. And then it sends a signal to the sole, my feet, the burning sensation, the tingling sensation. And oh, buddy, I just couldn't do a thing. I said, Lord, what is it? So the more I meditate on these things, that I realize the importance of the head and the body relationship. I said, if I cut off my head, my body, I don't feel a thing, I'm gone. There's no life. There's no consciousness. But because of that, the head, the one that gives life, the signal, and transforms all the signal to the rest of the body, the feedback to it, and back and forth, getting all the members to feel it itself. Then my mind goes to the day when Jesus Christ had his last meal with the disciple. Then after that, he sang a few hymns, and then went with the disciple to the Garden of Gethsemane. Went to a botanical garden, a park. And while they were walking up to that garden, I can imagine that Jesus Christ was all very solemn, very quiet. His mind was on something. He was in great pain. And the disciple probably walked behind him and around him. Probably they didn't say a word, probably they would whisper to one another. Because here was the master. They do not know what was going on. And he was in a somber mood. And when he went up to the Garden of Gethsemane, he sat down. Jesus told them, I'm going a little way up further to pray. He told them to pray with him too and watch. When Jesus went on his knees and he looked up to the heaven, oh my! You know, this was the only time that the Son of God I don't know what to use, what to use. But it was the only time, I believe it was the only time that he felt so helpless. He wanted his will. He doesn't want to die. Because he saw what's coming ahead of him. Great darkness. Great darkness of death coming towards him. Because that was the will of God for him to face, to take it. You know what the scripture wrote about him. You know the scripture is written so about us. So what are we going to do? He went on his knees and he said, he prayed, Father, if it is possible, remove this cup. We read in the scripture, it says, Father, if it is possible, remove this cup. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. So simple. But there are a lot of things that was not written, what was going on in his mind, what was he praying about, what else? That night when I was in my bed, I was groaning. I saw this thing about the head, the life consciousness. When we are well and healthy, when we have all that we have in life, we don't feel much about it. I saw in my ministry, when I went into my ministry for the last 40 years traveling, I've been through a lot of trials and testing. Many times I was alone in my own room in a cheap hotel, a filthy hotel, sometimes there praying to, suffering in pain quietly without letting the minister know. The first time he started was back in Butuan City. No one knows what happened. Because when I go to preach, I wash myself, clean myself, I didn't tell them what's happened. But I was very sick. When a person is dying out, like what I was going through, the whole body went through that spasm. I can just see what Christ was going through. He doesn't want to die. We are born to live. But Christ was born to die. Because he has a destiny. He was ordained to die. But you and I, we are all ordained to live. I want you to know about it. So when he came to the last part of that journey of his ministry, time for him to fulfill the scripture. I don't know what he said to the Father on his knees. So simple what we read. Father, remove this cup if it is possible. Nevertheless, not my will be done but yours. That's so simple. What else was he praying about? What was he groaning about? He groaned and he groaned. What did the Bible say? Until the perspiration comes out from within, the blood came out with it. He was dying of a broken heart. What was he conscious of? He was facing the death. But he was also thinking when the darkness of great darkness is coming that he must accept it. He was looking at the body. He was feeling for you and me. You see, he was the Son of God. He was sinless. He don't have to go through all this. He doesn't have to feel all this. His life. God has given him that life. But he wanted to give it up for you and me. He faced that. He went back a second time. A third time. Praying almost the same prayer. Agonizing every time. The head wanted to live. The head doesn't want to die. The head doesn't want to go through all the pain. But yet, he wasn't thinking just for that. He was thinking about the body. The member of his body. Everyone is corrupt, dying and in pain, living in pain. And he came to feel your passion and my passion. Oh, when I was groaning that night, I began to see all that. And then the soldier came. They took him away. The high priest judged him. He was judged by religious leaders. Then turn it over to the political leaders to judge him. So we have problems in the world between the religious organization and the political system. Back and forth, back and forth. From religious to the politics, to the politics to religion, back and so forth until the morning came. And he was judged. He was whipped before the stripes. When he was whipped before the stripes, mind you, it was not just an ordinary whip. There were hooks at the end of those thorns. And his back was so bloody. Pieces of flesh were hanging out. And I was thinking, oh my. I talk about my pain. And I was thinking, his body was so ripped apart that you could see sinews on the back of his body. His shoulders. And probably some bigger artery probably has been scraped off too. And the blood was flowing all over. They hit him with a rod on the head. They bruised him. With a crown torn in him. You know, there's not a crown torn just like that. But when he was hit with the rod, and they make fun of him, there are probably bruises on his face. He took it all in his stride. That's a lot of pain. First thing was the emotion. First thing was the spiritual pain that he went through in the Garden of Gethsemane. That sometimes God allows trial When he went to Garden of Gethsemane 9, he could face what's coming literally, physically. Then the enemy put him on him a purple robe, or a purple scarlet robe. And they make fun of him, "Hail, King of the Jews," and things like that. And then he presented before the people. Pontius Pilate told the people, "I found no fault in him. You go and crucify him. Go." The religious leader says, "No. He is your king." When Pontius Pilate presented him, "Behold the man. You crucify him." The religious leader said, "No. We have no king but Caesar." And Pontius Pilate was afraid he might be fired by Caesar himself. You know, the political system is corrupt. In the world today, we see what's being manipulated even now by the West upon all those people on the East, because the second beast is trying to hold power. And the one world system is coming to play very well. And he will leap it all the way back to Rome. That's what is happening. So finally, they have changed a criminal for Christ Jesus. Then he was led away to be crucified. They removed the rope, they put on his back the cross, the piece of wood that he has to carry. It's not a light piece of rope. I mean, not a light piece of wood. It's a beam. All his raw flesh. You think about it. He walked all the way that he could walk, as far as he could walk. As the corridor in the modern Israel today, via Dolorosa. And he couldn't until he collapsed. And the soldier found someone to carry a cross for him. Oh, the pain. What was going into the mind of Christ? The pain. He was facing death to give life. And that's what it is all about. Facing death to give life. Without that head, without Christ the head, giving us that life, and the church has no life at all. I really thank God for that. So in all this that we learned so far, the head is reality. The body is also a reality. It exists. But until there is a relationship between the head and the body, there is no life. If you don't receive, if you and I, we are the body of Christ, if we don't have instruction from the head, then we are not part of the body. We are not even having any life at all. That's the reason why we cannot go into this systematic, I mean this traditional teaching. Organize men. That's what the Bible calls it, get up, come out of her. God is light, in him is no darkness. Darkness and light cannot mix, because already Christ came to give us light, to give us life. So why do we want to go back to darkness? So it's not important already dividing the word of truth. And the path is a narrow path. The gate is straight. The devil is trying to push us up. And the problem, therefore, in the body of Christ, there's always this life force. But yet the devil will kind of come in, as it was in the day of Job. Satan hitched a ride upon some worshipper and accused Job. You know, the Bible said to be carnal-minded is death. A person who is carnal-minded is not born again. If we are all born again, then we cannot be carnal-minded. But there is always those that are in the church like that. As I said this also last week, when we have life consciousness, we are aware of sin. We don't have life consciousness, we will not be aware of sin. That is very true, isn't it? I feel my body. Now they say there is something inside me. There is a tumor that may be cancerous. It's there. But that thing is not supposed to be there. You know, I was thinking about back in the 1950s. It is 1960s. The pharmaceutical firm in Germany, they produce a tranquilizer to calm people down. It is called thalidomide. So woman took those, and later on when they conceived, thousands of them were pregnant with deformed children. So deformed that you could not believe it. A body with two heads. Born without, many of them practically born without limbs. No limbs. Or just the leg, and the legs are deformed. And then some are born with, you could not believe it. How many toes do we have per foot? 5. Some of them are born with 7, 8, and all spread out very ugly. Some of them born without legs, but their head, the body is there, but no limbs at all, practically. Well, that's abnormal. And the body of Christ, every one of us, if we are a member of the body of Christ, we should be perfect as we should be, whatever you are, as a member in that body. Is that all right? Let's go to Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of His sons into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Now relationship with God is, He is our Father. He is our Father. Now let's go to Romans 8, 16. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So now we have God. We can cry out, Abba, Father. And we have here in this word to say that we are the children of God. God is our Father, and we are His children. That is the thing that we shall be always aware of. The relationship. Is God real to every one of us? Is God real to you? The body has many members. If the member does not relate itself to the head, something is wrong. Think about this. If you have, the leg. One of your leg is artificial. There's no sickness from the head to the leg. Because it's artificial. Take a knife and step on it, there's a fear thing. You see that? And if you have artificial leg, or just like this talon of my children, they were born. Those without arms, only perfect feet. How did they feed themselves? They were taught to use their feet, their toes, as fingers. They were taught to hold fork and spoon with their toes, sitting on the floor, dishing out their noodles or their rice or whatever they are eating to their mouth. They were young, they were taught that because they're still nimble and able to feed themselves with that. But that is not perfect. Because the feet are made, created to walk. Is not to act as a hand. There's no stimulation. There's no joy, no pain, nothing. Even the member itself, if you all play football, any of you all play football, whatever you are doing, you ever kick a ball, you feel the joy just kicking the ball. Is that not true? A football, a soccer ball, when you use a foot to kick it, that is joy. How come you get joy? It's a football, it's a soccer ball, use a hand and hit it. You know that's different because that's not for the foot. I mean that's not for the hand. So the feet has a certain function if you bring joy to the body. And that's why every one of us should be whatever you are, whatever you can do, whatever your position is in the body of Christ. Naturally, there will be this reaction because of life consciousness. There's no, people cannot say, no members of the body, but there's a finger or toe or leg or a hand can say, I'm independent. No, you are not independent. We are all dependent upon one another. There's no such thing as you are a one-man show. You are not by yourself. No man is an island, so as the proverb goes. Do you understand that? Every member of your body is conscious of one common life. Now you know what I use my pinky here for? Most of the time, this little pinky. And this one, and this is my ear. Some people use it for their nose. But I always do this when I get some water in my ear, I always do that. Huh? Or maybe some of you gotta maybe use it to try to lick something from your face. We all had a function, and when I take my finger and turn together water, there's joy in you. The water is, the ear feels happy because maybe there's one water and it disappears in your ear, you feel happy. You know, the body concept is very real. That's what that now when I went through that agony. I couldn't sleep. I went to a chill. My echo was not on. I went to a chill. Oh my. Then I perspired, I sweat. I got up, I cleaned, dry myself, I changed to another one. After a few hours again, I went to a chill. This is what is happening to my body. It was terrible. Groaning. So, there's nothing independent. Every part has a part to play. But we have today Christian and believers. All my years since 71 early fellowship started from small and growing size. Over the years, where people they come, the people they go. And some they say, well, you know, they do as they like. I like the church, I come. I don't like, I go. They're not responsible to the body. How can you be? How can you call yourself a member of the body of Christ, a believer in the body of Christ? As Paul says, we are many members but one body. So if we are a member of the body, how can you say you have no responsibility to the body? If no responsibility to the body, that means you are not part of the body of Christ. Amen. But we have the people. In the early years, in the 80s, even all the way, out once in a while, I get some people that come. There was one back then, many, many years ago. He told me this. I leave the church. After I see that your church gets perfected, the more perfect, or whatever you use the word, come remember, but use the word perfect, then I'll come back. I said, you will not come back. Because find me a church that is perfect. Find me a church. It's the one church in the world that is perfect. I'm talking about churches. Even the body of Christ is not perfect, but it's on the way to perfection. Wow. The left. Never come back. You see, the problem is there's no life consciousness in these people. You can never be a lone ninja. I'm going to vote for a ninja. You can never be. Every one of us are tied to a body as a member. So if you think that you can, well, do as you like, then you are a disease. And that's what the thing that is inside me here, as the doctor said, it might be cancerous, 95% cancerous. That is a disease in the body. It's not part of the body. Do you understand? First Corinthians 12:26. And whether one member suffered, all members suffered with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. So there is no pretension here. No pretension. If one suffer, everybody knows, will feel this, the pain along with it. And sometimes God allows it to come. You take an example of like somebody, occasions of Christian going to a church in a van. And then there was an accident and the whole van, all those people that were in the van, suffer injury or death. How do you think that church there, that they belong to, that the fellowship, how do they think they feel? They're going to have a service and they get news while they were singing. The so-and-so's family and so-and-so in the van. Now in the hospital. And some of them died. What did they happen in the church? Or do you think the pastor said, oh, never mind, accident happened, let us just worship the Lord. Is that it? And I hope that by the time this series of the life of the body of Christ, as I said, I preached this back in the early 80s, I'm reminding many times about the series of being that we are the body, to be that we should feel that reality. That by which time when I finish this time, this series, I pray that you can really have this life consciousness that you have with Christ and the whole body of Christ, the members that's within the body. You understand? Alright? You're all responsible for one another. Let's go to 1 John chapter 2, 27-29. But the anointing which you have received of him abide in you. And you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you all things, and is true and is no lie, and even as it have been, as it have taught you, you shall abide in him. And now let our children abide in him, that when he shall appear you may know, you may have confidence, and not to be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that do righteousness is born of him. I want to just touch a little bit of this. This is spontaneous awareness of the presence of God in your life. Now, some few months back, there was this believer that from the other fellowship that texted me, you know. When you talk about the fivefold ministry, he was telling me, oh, Brother Bram said that there is a ministry in the bride. So it's a bride ministry. Bride ministry. And he gave me this verse. Look at this verse 27. But the anointing which you have received of him abide in you. You need not any man teach you. So you are telling me we don't need the fivefold ministry the way he said it. Is that what the Bible here is going to tell you? That's why people do not know how to rightly divide the word. They may think they know how to cut straight, but they are not fitting the body because it's not even cut straight. What is this book of John? Who was John writing to? Well, we'll see. Let's go to chapter 2, verse 1. Who was John writing this verse to? I mean, writing this book to? Or this is epistle? 1 John chapter 2 now. My little children, this thing I write unto you, that you sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. So who was John writing to? Little children, toddler, primary school kid? Was he writing to these kids? Little children. John right now here was an old man. He's writing to those who are converts. And he called those whom he converted to the gospel, he called them children. Because they are young in the faith, not young in age. You understand? Now when we look into what he said then, in verse 18, little children, again he said that. He's addressing them all those, whether they are 12 years old, 20 years old, 30 years old, 80 years old, they are all children to him because they are in the faith. They came under his ministration. Then when he said this, for the anointing which you have received of him abide in you, you need not that any man tell you, but as the same one teach you all things, it is true and it's no lie, even as it was taught you, you shall abide in. What was he talking about here? God's anointing that came upon you when He saw you that you are a child of God. You have received Christ Jesus, as it was said in verse 1. You in heaven are walking with the Father, even Jesus Christ the righteous. He was telling them about salvation. You have been assured that what you believe is true. So you don't need anybody come and tell you any other thing. This is simple. The anointing rests upon you. It doesn't mean that, oh, now I have the Holy Spirit. I don't need anybody else to teach me. The Holy Spirit will teach me. Then why did the Holy Spirit, who is a teacher, send teachers to teach? Why did God send teachers in the church? Or give the gift of teaching to the church? So that means we can just stay home without any, we don't need anybody to teach me. I read the Bible and I know everything. I hear this so often, and that's why we have a problem. Instead of one head and many members, we have people who are members and think that they can do anything they like. And even some go out there to think that they have a gift. And I see a lot out there in many countries. This is especially so in the Philippines. We have seen a lot of them who said they are pastors and then went out there and started to teach things that are contrary to the word. And you can't change their mind now, because the Bible tells us many will depart from the faith, giving heed to what? Seducing spirits. They think they know when you don't even know anything. And they can't be corrected. No. There's no humility. There's no, you know, sincerity, integrity to admit. And that's why here, Paul is saying that there must be an awareness. Yes, the Spirit will lead us. When we listen to what is taught, right, we say amen to it. We know it is true. You see. John 14. And we know, we should know what John 14 tells us in verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither know him. But you know him because he dwells in you and shall be in you. Verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father has sent in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. And people here even take context, this verse out of context. The Holy Spirit that draws me will teach me all things. So I don't need anyone. And that is really a terrible thing. You know, you know my life, my ministry. If I have a choice, I wish not to be called a preacher. I will leave the preaching to whoever I want to preach. I would rather go out there and do my work. And be like Jimmy, going to do gardening. Much better. I'll be a farmer. Because people think that, oh, it's something great to be a pastor. I know the people want to go up to the pulpit here. And think that they can stand before people and think that they are somebody. Oh no. There are a lot of people who have knowledge of the Word of God. They think they do. But there is no consciousness of God in their life. What is the message given for? Every time when a message is preached, truly according to the Word of God, what is the message of God given for? To bring you to the knowledge of the man who is preaching it? Huh? Like the brother might say, oh, Brother Bram said this, Brother Bram said the Brother Bram said, Brother Bram said. Is the message to make you conscious of the man William Branham? It's a message given to you so that you be conscious of Raymond Jackson or any preacher who preaches it. Or is a message, a true message, the preacher must still make you conscious of God's life. Isn't it true? There are a lot of people aware. Yeah, and they know the Bible. They said they know the Bible. But there are a lot of people that keep lying. They just lie. Lie consciously even. And constantly. They will not admit to the truth. Let me give you something that that happened to me back in the 70s. When we started ministry in 71, I think sometime about a few years down the road in the 70s, I got a letter. Back those days, there's no email. Slow me. I got a letter from Indonesia. An Indonesian man wrote me. So I came across a booklet, because at that time we started bringing a booklet. And he said, we believe we want to start a church. You know, if there's any way you can do to help me. He said, I'm coming to Singapore anyway, just from the ferry, come over. And you know what, he came and we had a talk. And you know, he told me about the desire. He looked kind of sincere. He looked kind of, that he's telling me the truth and all that. You know. And I said, well, I can do whatever I can do to help you. He took some books back. And, he was still trying to ask me to help with some cash for the book. I took him to the Clifford Pier, Collie Quay, where there was a ferry from that time, where there's no more there. I think he's still there, right? Collie Quay. The ferry stood, yeah, correct, still there. I brought him down. Now that's back in the 70s. Maybe, I think, 77 or around there. So I took him there and we continue our conversation. And in departing, I gave him $100. Now, back in those days, $100 is a lot of money. Now, I give it to him. I said, well, you remember, write me back, contact me. He looked at the money, took the money, and he says, he mumbled something, as if to say, yes, okay. When he got on board the ferry, and I left, as I walked, turned around, walked away, a voice spoke to me in my heart, you'll never hear from him again. I was just saying for you, you'll never hear from him again. You know, that's where the consciousness came in. And the Lord has got me a few times to make mistakes like this. Knowing that something is wrong, but yet I react to what you call, to be helpful. You know what I'm saying? Sympathy. Remember the time when we have an Indian pastor that came over here? And I saw him back straight. And he said, we have no love. When we don't give much money, there's not much love. Like the brother of a pastor in the Philippines said to the other ministers, brother God helps. Brother God will help. But he helped only with 1,000 pesos, not $1,000. I said, of course. $1,000, get it from the state. Why do you want a lot of money? Why do we get the money? And I told many times, minister will start telling me, help me, I ask, with this amount of money. I said, then I've got to rob a bank. Simple as that. And so I'm telling Brother Tony Malawi, and I know you're listening to it. Now I've taught you all these years, and I expect you to do more than what you have been doing. Recently there was all that, what they call the flooding. There was no food. What do you do now? You have helped. He get all the other churches to help. He said, that's what I'm telling you. That's what I've told him to do. He said, good, do it. I don't understand when minister have, who's supposed to be a leader of several churches out there, and don't know what to do when there are problems, right over to other countries and ask for help. Yeah. You need to be independent. Find a solution. So, the consciousness of the presence of God. This is what the Bible talks about. When the Holy Spirit is within you, He will lead you and guide you. You will feel the consciousness, awareness. You know, it's not about knowing the doctrines of the Bible, but it is our consciousness of life seeing reality. And so when I see all this email coming in and asking me for help, I see the reality of life. But there are times that it's just not possible for us to really keep on sending money like that. Where are we getting all the money? Yes. So let us be aware of God, be aware of sin, be aware of the body of Christ and all spiritual reality. As a member of the body of Christ, we are responsible for one another. We cannot say, well, I'm independent. I don't like what I see, I go away. If you go away, to which church do you go? You know, if I were to sit down and count the number of people that tell me strange things and they leave the church, there's one that lied to me. Leave the church not because of doctrines. They just want to go and fellowship with the others out there. And turns out later, a few months later, there was a sister met him and he told me the truth. He believed in polygamy. And it was this same brother later on who contacted me when he walked, Frank came to Singapore. Because Brother Watling, he believed in polygamy. But he wanted to openly teach it. Huh. And then later on there was nothing came about out of it. A few months later down the road, he called me up again. Said, Brother Gunn, here's a brother who got the answer to polygamy. You see? I have told you this before. How we went to the hotel room. How do you prove a doctrine to be true? Brother Gunn, do you believe that God never changed his mind about his word? I said, yes, I do. Then if God allowed Abraham to have more than one wife, David to have more than one, King Solomon to have so many, then you can have more than one wife if your nation allows it. It's so simple. Now, heard it, and then I was furious. That brother sitting next to me, you see, it's so simple as if you hold your horses. You better, out there, you minister, you better think twice before you tell me a stupid thing. Here is a man who is not stupid and foolish. You want to teach scripture? Take the scripture. Rightly divide the word of God. Cut straight the word of God. And not a quote from Brother Branham or Tom or John Wesley or Luther. Yeah? You want to quote Luther? I can quote Luther to you. And you will hate him. Because Luther said what? The Jews are pariah. And the book of James is a straw. And yet why did God use him? Because back then it was a reformation. And we have come far away from reformation. From justification, sanctification. And now we are in the Holy Ghost baptism. And now we are on the stage towards perfection. And you better get ready. Understand that. Not just consciousness of the Word, but the consciousness of the life that is in the Word. You say we have the Word, then let there be this real life in us. That we are a body. That we are independent of one another. I mean, dependent on one another. Is that right? We are supplementary. We are members. We supplement the part, but we are also complement of the whole body. That's true. Let's go to another verse as we close. Remember one thing. If we have an inner life, remember this. As Paul said, the life that I live now, I live in Christ. Huh? Who gave his life for me. Is that alright? To live is Christ. Amen. To die is gain. So I live in Christ. I don't live to myself. I don't live to myself. I'm a servant of God, so I live as a servant of God. You know, when I went to Africa, went to India and other places, yeah, I mean, you know, they treat me well. And the brother will all come around me and like bodyguard me. I said, I don't need bodyguards. The Pope needs it, not me. Yeah, but they want to treat me with honor. That's good, fine. Thank you very much. Because honor is needed. The Bible says, you know, right? What did God say to Israel? You call me master, then where is my honor? And you sacrifice to me a sacrifice that is blemish. And you reluctantly give your tithes, so to speak. And truly, as the Bible says, a prophet is without honor in his own country. God sent the prophet to Israel. They rejected them. God sent his only begotten son. They too rejected him. Wow. And truly, as a master, bent his knees to wash the disciples' feet. Ever thought of that? That's so very true, isn't it? I thank you all, you brother and sister here. Knowing how to respect. But there are a few that have no respect. If I be a pastor, if I be someone who helps you and guides you as a gift, respect to give. Even as Brother Graham said. I'm quoting Brother Graham anyway now. Right? If there's a father in the house, if the children do not respect the father, what is that? They come into the children come back from school or something, the father is sitting there, just look at the father and walk, and the father says, where's my honor? Don't you know how to greet? And if you come in, an uncle sitting there, you just look at the uncle. That's what. Don't you know how to greet your uncle? Your auntie? Don't follow that, the American. The standard is, a nephew comes in, see the uncle sitting, hi Bill. Go. Call them by name. And that's why there's a whole lot of disrespect. If I want to introduce someone, he's someone who is, for example, a doctor. And he's particularly a doctor. How do I introduce him to you? I will not say he's so-and-so. I will say he's Dr. so-and-so. Because he has the profession. Right? That's the way we do things. That's why that chiropractor of mine years ago, he's from Finland. And he asked me to call him by name. I said, no, I cannot. You are the doctor. So this is an Asian way of life. I have to address you as Dr. Kala. Not just call you Kala. Or Dr. Will. I mean just Will. I mean. No, not by name. You have never seen an uncle? For years, this is Uncle So-and-so. And don't say, oh, this is just by name. That's what honor is. That's why the Eastern tradition that there must be a respect. Jesus and the people, when people in the time of Jesus, what did they call him? Who knew him? They called him Rabbi. Teacher, right? Correct! They don't call him Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Yeshua, Yeshua, Yeshua. They don't call him like that. Too familiar. Familiar breeds contempt, and that is very true in some people's life. Romans 12, 3 to 5. Let me close with this verse. For I said to the grace given to me to every man that is among you, think not of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according to God, according as God hath dealt with every man, dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one member one of another. The gift differing, of course. We all have different gifts. Simple just to understand. Don't think highly of himself. Think soberly. I remember back then this story I heard from Malacca pastor who knew of the church out there in Penang that I told you about. Peter Tan, a Baptist church, who came into charismatism, he came into the message. I had baptized him back then with some of his people, and then and later on, of course, he rejected the message. Wrote a book against Brother Brand even. Because he said the question, because why? He loved charismaticism, the very question. Then he started his own church, and within a few years, I think he got about more than 1,000 or 2,000 people. And then, of course, in Pentecostalism, as you know, with the influence of charismatic, the desire to have gifts. So they're practicing discernment and all that stuff. And you remember I told you one time that Malacca Pastor Sue, he was out there, he told me that he was out there in the coffee shop, and here was this two young men, I think it's two or three, I can't remember now, from that church in Penang, sitting there, and suddenly started to talk, and suddenly one of them said, I discern that you have some problem with your heart. And then Pastor Sue said he prayed along with them. He said, how do you know? Well, I got the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit told me about that. Then after that, he began to add some more. Oh. Then finally, Pastor told them, I don't have anything. You people think that you can play with the gift, huh? You've been taught how to discern in Gasabutta thing, you know? And later I heard that the pastor acted so high and mighty. Because you know, charismaticism. You know how the charismatic preacher, people love charismatic preacher, isn't it? You know that, don't you? A lot of people love charismatic preacher. Look at Benny Hinn. Oh. And many others out there in America. Because they preach very nicely. They preach about goodness, love, miracles, power. People love miracles. They cannot live without miracles. Brother God, your church are miracles. I won't come because there's no God in your church there. Because there's no miracles. What kind of miracles are you looking for? Miracles that grow another head on my shoulder? What miracles do you want? So this man, his father later on began to tell the people around him, were crowding around him, his church, man, don't stand too close to me, because God, if God wants, he will give me to reveal the sin that you have. Wow. He began to act so important. Do you know? There are things that happened to Brother Branham's life because of the gift, right? His discernment, things like that. But this guy is beyond that. Don't stand too close to me. Because, you know, God can reveal your sins to me. Oh, my. What happened to him today? He fornicated. Every time I said this to be true, devil feeds on false doctrine. And when he feeds on dark false doctrine, what will happen to you in the physical? As I said, if you have life consciousness of Christ and God in you, your life, who's up? That is godly and righteous. If you have demonic doctrine, you're feeding on something that's not there because it's not true life, then your life will take a turn and you go into fornication. Because the same spirit that fornicate with the word of God in your life, you will cause you to fornicate physically with someone else. Is it not true? I'll close it here. Heavenly Father, the life that you have given to your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, we are thankful, Lord, for it. When he received it, Lord, he did not keep it to himself. Father, he did not keep it to himself. He came and he gave it to us willingly to fulfill the will you have for him, for the scripture that was written about him. And here is the same thing, O Lord. The scripture is written for us, and it's about us too, because you are part of the body of Christ. And therefore, let us help us to live that life. Be conscious of that life that you have given to Christ and who you have given it to us. That life eternal. To live it. To manifest it. God, it is a miracle of this reality of your life in us. Father, I thank you, Lord. I thank you. Bless the word now, Father. Asking this in Jesus' name. Amen.